Amen. How many of you glad you've got an oasis? Praise the Lord. Not just something in your mind, not just something that's a mirage, but it's a real oasis. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you glad about it this morning? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God this morning. Play some more of that. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be here this morning? We had camp meeting here last night. It just happens about every time. There's nothing we can do about it. I'm glad about that, aren't you? The presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, and the truth of God's Word. Well, it's just a great combination to have them both, isn't it? Amen. So glad you're here. I want to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests this morning. Just take these things to the Lord. Sister Anna Shipley wants to thank everyone for your calls, prayers, food, and all the contributions after the passing of my daughter. We'll give this to Brother Bird. He can make this thank you card available on the screen out there. So we appreciate Sister Anna and what she means to our assembly. Amen. Sister Bonnie Potter says, I have bone spurs on my knees and possible gout or bursitis. They are very painful. She went through the prayer line, and she's relief is amazing. The devil tries to kick me around, but I remind him that God's promise to me, by His stripes, I was healed. God is awesome. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Michelle Swafford says to please pray that my father, Gary Manuel's cancer, will go away. Also, his hip is degenerated. Also, want to pray for May Manuel. Please pray for my granny's heart, that the Lord would just be mindful of those needs. I want you to remember the Livingston family in prayer today. Brother Dean Livingston passed away last night, I think around between 6 and 7 o'clock. And, you know, that's a church that's lost its pastor. And I just was thinking as I saw that and thought about that, we're a church. I appreciate our pastor. And I just imagine what we would be like if we was without a pastor this morning. So we certainly want to pray for that church family, that God would just work all of the details out. Apostolic Church there in Bristol. And the family, that God would just gird them with His love. A wonderful family. Believe in the Lord. And let's just pray for their well-being this morning as we go to the Lord. Brother Moyer wants us to remember his wife in prayer, that the Lord would just help her. Her appetite is just not anything at all. And just pray that He would touch her mentally and physically. Also pray for my two daughters, that they can get custody back of those children. So we want to remember those needs as we pray today. Also, a work-related request. Brother Moyer missing quite a bit of work, and they're asking that we would be mindful of those needs. Please pray for my son, Timothy. He has pneumonia. Also needs the Lord. Sister Anna Shipley sends that in. We'll remember Brother Barry English this morning. Been in the hospital with pneumonia. And his blood sugar is very high. Matter of fact, it's been so high that it won't even register no higher on the little scale that you take your blood sugar test. I think 600 is as high as it'll go. And his is past that. So we want to pray that God will be mindful of our brother. Brother Keith Phillips says, my aunt is back at the hospital with kidney trouble. Let's remember that need today as we pray. Brother Terry Stockton called to request prayer for his son, Daniel. The doctors are considering a pacemaker for him, wants all to go well. Please also pray that his mind would clear up as he still sometimes is very confused. So let's remember that need. Brother David Harris sends this in to please remember Heather Yance in prayer. She has lupus, needs both knees replaced, has cysts on her liver, and she is anemic. She is my boss's wife. They have been very good to me and a blessing to my life, so we want to remember that need this morning. Brother Gene Littleton offers this testimony. I want to thank everyone for your prayers, for your cards and phone calls during my surgery and recovery. I give God all the praise for a successful surgery and sparing my life once again. Please continue to pray for my family, Brother Gene. We appreciate Brother Gene Littleton, don't we? Amen. Certainly do. Sister Joanne Tessa says, praise the Lord. I want to thank the church for all their prayers for me and my daughter as we travel to and from Florida. I love you all, so we praise the Lord for their safety. Brother Daniel and Sister Kristen Ball says, we would like to thank the Lord for watching over our son Clayton yesterday while he was outside. He got into a hornet's nest and was stung several times. Just thank the Lord that he is fine. Had no reaction to the sting, so praise the Lord for that. Sister Martha Sacker says, please pray for my elderly aunt who is 84 in the hospital, possibly facing surgery. Nadine Finch says to please pray for my niece who has two types of cancer, bone and blood, was given 3 to 6 months to live without chemo. So we want to remember that need this morning. Christy Smith says, I would like to thank the Lord for watching over Annalisa. She fell into a campfire face first and had no burns. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, how many of you know God's bigger than all of our problems? Bigger than all of our problems. Could we stand together? Brother David Swanson, would you come pray this morning over our prayer request? We just commit these things unto the Lord. God is so good to us, isn't he? You love him with all your heart. Somebody say praise the Lord. God bless you, buddy.
Precious Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, to hear these testimonies. Lord, just helps our faith just to reach out there. We know you're touching people's lives, and so with these requests, Lord, we know that you'll take care of them also. We're so grateful, Lord, that you've given this opportunity to come this morning. Lord, we just can't get enough of going to church. We know when we spend eternity with you, we'll never have to leave your presence. So we're just so excited, Lord, for what you have for us today. We know that you're mindful of every situation that we have, Lord. And you're just asking for us to call out to you. As you said to Moses, why cry? Speak. Lord, I believe that your bride is getting to that position where we'll be able to speak the very things we have need of. We'll have the very mind of Christ that will just anoint us, and it'll be you speaking through us, Lord. May you just have your way in the service now. May you just help us, Lord, to get behind Brother Louis and create an atmosphere so that the word would be able to flow freely, Lord. May you just be pleased to dwell with us today, Lord. May we be able to hold you spellbound as we've been on this series of being held in the galleries. May we be able to hold you this morning, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today with us, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming today, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. And we got some special friends with us in the service this morning. Brother Keith Buchanan, his family. I don't know who all came with him, but I did get to talk to Brother Keith. Brother Keith and his family are going to be doing all of our special singing this morning. Actually, I'd like for y'all to come onto the platform right now. We're going to sing a congregational, and then we're going to let y'all sing till time for Brother Donnie to come out. We just appreciate you being here. We want to welcome this morning Sister Cindy Arrowwood says, please Welcome my sister-in-law from West Virginia. Her name is Tennessee Arrowood. I love that name, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Where is she at this morning? Raise your hand. God bless you, Tennessee. We're glad to have you here this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little song this morning. We wore it out, but I still believe it's the truth. I believe He's coming back just like He said. His word will never fail. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say it ain't nothing but the truth. I believe He's coming back like He said. And I believe the trumpet's gonna sound so loud. He'll resurrect our dead.
In the twinkling of an eye, He'll split the eastern sky.
This morning, I'm going to let you be seated. We're going to give plenty of time to Brother Keith. Give our singers a real good hand this morning as they get ready to sing for you. They're not actually visiting this morning. They're just back home. Amen. We love Brother Keith McKenna. We appreciate him. Amen.
I'm not going to ask you if you love the Lord, because I know you do. And I'm not going to ask you if you're glad to be here this morning, because if you wasn't glad to be here, you wouldn't be here. But I will ask you, aren't you glad you have that pull on the inside that makes you want to come here? A lot of other places you could be this morning. Certainly it's good to be here. Bring greetings from all the folks at Hickory Bible Tabernacle, and Brother Barry especially asked me to pass along a greeting. Just remember him in prayer as he is he's traveling over in Scotland this weekend at a special meeting, and he'll be coming on his way back tomorrow. So just remember him in prayer. I want to thank brought a couple folks with me. Brother John Harwell on the drums and his son John Anthony. I really appreciate them coming along and helping us out here. Many years ago, when I was just a very young boy, I guess about 6 or 7, I woke up one Saturday morning before Mom and Dad, and I went into the living room, and there was a little track on the table there. And just curious, not really knowing a whole lot how to read, but I read this track, and the title of that track was called Beyond the Curtain of Time. I know most of you have probably read that track. Well, as a young lad, that had a very profound effect on my life. A few years later, I heard a song that was written by a very dear sister in this church that come to be one of my favorite songs of all time. And it talks about that beyond the curtain of time. And there's probably not one here that doesn't have a loved one sitting on the other side that they're waiting to go see. I've got a daddy there and grandparents, but most of all, the Lord is there. And I'm looking forward to go see those. And I'm looking forward to when we go beyond the curtain of time. So if you know this song, Sister Geraldine Yonce wrote this song. I love it. It's called Beyond the Curtain of Time. Sing it with us.
Beyond the curtain of time, the saints now awake. Beyond the curtain of time, inside the home gate. Precious friends there to see. Beyond the curtain of time, they're waiting for me. There is one who has looked beyond the curtain of time, and he told us about these things and the joys of life. In that place, such wonderful peace and joy, and for us they now wait. Beyond the curtain of time, the saints now await. Beyond the curtain of time, inside the home gate. Precious friends there to see. Beyond the curtain of time, they're waiting for me.
Our precious brother, they cried, we're so glad you're here. Had run to Christ and his loved one so dear, and he said, don't let anything hinder you in that race.
Think about
the
it.
Time is drawing near when we meet face to face.
Beyond the curtain of time, saints now away.
Beyond the curtain of time, inside the home gate, we're pressing our way along, our precious friends there.
us now.
Beyond the curtain of time, the saints now await. Beyond the curtain of time, inside the home gate, we're pressing away along, our precious friends there to see.
speak from experience that whatever battle you're going through, if you just lay that aside for a moment and just start singing and praising God and counting your blessings, that peace just comes over you. And you know that everything's going to be all right. You know, Brother Paul LaFontaine wrote a song here a while back. We sung it here before, but it's one of my favorites also. And we was asked to do this song. I know everybody sees the news and all the turmoil and everything that's going on. There's nothing to keep me here anymore. I'm ready to move from this place. Brother John, if you would, just count us off on that.
This world never gets no better. Seems like I've been here forever. Everything after a while just seems the same. So it's time to be up and going. I can feel there's a wind blowing. I'm ready to move, I'm ready to change.
Imagine what it'll be when we gather in that great paradise of God. All the saints, the singers, the musicians, the people of God that have lived down through the ages. Won't it be wonderful? Amen. Just church all the time. And that's the bottom line. It won't be shopping all the time. Sorry, sisters. It won't be shopping. It won't be eating all the time. I mean, the best way I know to describe it is church constantly. Amen. Being in the presence of God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. Truly, the closer we get to the end of the way and the more things we see around us, the more I long for it myself. Amen. Amen. Our world is certainly a chaotic condition. But we're so glad that our executor is among us. And he's here to bring to pass his word. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. I want to speak to you again this morning on the executor in the galleries. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered today before the Lord? Just raise your hand to him. Amen. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you so much, Father, for the gift of life. We thank you for the ability to believe in this dark hour. We know, Lord, that you have never been without a witness. In every age, you've always had people who stood for what was right in that day, no matter what the opposition. And we're so grateful, Father, that we have been called by you to take that stand in this day. Our stand would seem so small compared to Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, in the days of Cyrus, and on and on and on we could go. But yet our portion, our time, has been given right now at the last day. We want you to know we are so grateful for the opportunity. You saw the hands that were uplifted, Lord. I pray you'd be mindful of the needs of your people today. I come today, Lord Jesus, again, that I can present, Father God, myself. Oh, Lord, I don't have much that I can give at all. But all that I can give in faith and confidence is that gift, that portion of yourself that you've placed in me to help me to be able to move myself aside, to be able to speak the word. So I pray that you would help me, Lord. Create, as it were, a circuit between the people and myself and you, inclusive, that we would be able to pull on the very divine presence of God. I've studied, I've prayed, I've done everything that I know to do. Now may they, with their part, be able to pull. May we together pull on you, and we believe it'll be phenomenal, the results that we will see. Grant it, we pray, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I wanted to find out a little bit and refresh myself this morning. So I've done a little bit of looking in the terms of legal aspect of the office, responsibility, and position of an executor of a will. Now remember that in every state has its own laws, so some states would vary one from the other. But there are over 100 responsibilities and things that an executor must do. But to be able to condense it together, there are 10 major responsibilities. And as we're looking at the Lord Jesus being the executor of our will, the testator first, and then passing beyond the realm of mortality and what we know as death, and then changing his position and office, that in the will of God, it was determined what should be rendered to those that's going to be recipients of the will. That was determined by God himself, by grace, some by descent of those who are of his nature and born of his spirit. Others, the grace of God will be given to them, even though they are not of his own kind, but mercy will reach to them. Gracious kindness and mercy of God will reach to them, and they will receive an actual inheritance by gift, not by descent, because they did not come from him. Yet there are a category of people that are descendants. And the descendants, I mean, not genetically or from the chromosomes or the natural DNA, but by the word. Because God does not reproduce himself sexually in the way that we do. God does not reproduce himself in a test tube, but God reproduces himself in the form of his word. So God, in order to reproduce himself, to bring forth of his own kind, he chose his word to do so. Now, what I'm going to do is read some of these things, and I want to put them up on the screen so you'll be able to read them with me. Now, remember, this is from a legal aspect, but we'd like to draw from it a spiritual part and a spiritual application as well. So the job of executor, as the person named to distribute a deceased person's property that passes under his or her will and arranges for the payment of debts and expenses. Now remember, the executor is the one who is in charge of arranging for the payment of debts and expenses. So if there were debts of sin or expenses owed against the law of God written under the First Testament or the Old Covenant, then it was the responsibility of the executor to pay all of those debts first before the people that's going to receive, before they get one dime. All expenses must be paid before you can receive anything of the will. So now this is the thing that the executor must find. It is a legal binding position. It is a very serious position to become an executor. Even though you're named it by other people, you enter into a very legal responsibility and position. You can actually be prosecuted by the law if you do not carry it out and fulfill it to the letter. You are responsible to the IRS. You are responsible to the state. You're responsible to the probate court. You're responsible to the judge. So you have many, many responsibilities. Now, during that time, there might be a few blessings. I'm not sure what they'd be, but you might be able to get a little bit. The executor has the right to be able to charge a fee for his services. Now, it is under the common understanding that for the most part, for a wealthy estate, 1% of the estate would be acceptable. Up to 6% would be acceptable. Under rare conditions, it might be 10%. Which in this state, the state that we're going to talk about today, the executor's fee was rendered to be 10%. He wants a tithing of all humanity. 1% wasn't enough. Oh, glory. Now, it is perfectly legal by the law for the executor himself, for all of his expense and all of his trouble, to be able to exact this amount. Now, let's look at number one of the 10 major responsibilities of this executor. He must get a copy of the will and file it with the local probate court. So he's got to get a copy of the will. Yes, and then he's got to make sure that that copy goes before the court. Yes. So that the court is aware of what is going on. Then it is not the place of the people going to receive of the will. It is not the responsibility of the judge. It is not the responsibility of the family of the deceased. But it is the responsibility of the executor to get a copy of the will and make sure that the will is registered before the court. Now, on the death of the testator, which was the Lord Jesus, there was no written New Testament for approximately 30 years after the death of the testator. But once the New Testament was written, how was it written? By the inspiration of the executor himself. So he inspires the authors of the New Testament, and they begin to write down the will. Then once the will is completed, it is the responsibility of the executor to make sure that he stands behind this, that it is the will of the deceased. Now, what's this? The executor is in charge of locating, reading, and understanding the will. Usually, even if probate isn't necessary, the will must be filed with the probate court. At this step,
the executor, glory to God, the executor also determines who inherits the property. Now at this date, the executor has taken the will. And he has read the will and believes that it is authentic. And it has been determined that it is a legal binding document. Then the executor now knows, hallelujah, knows who's going to receive the property and how much each one of them is going to get. Now remember, it is not the people. They themselves still don't know yet. They're still wondering, well, am I bride? Am I foolish virgin? Am I 144,000? You know, who am I? But the executor knows who is going to receive and what percentage of the will. Now remember, they do not get the money yet, because all debts, everything that is incurred against the estate, must first be settled by the executor himself. And once everything has been rendered totally paid, taxes are paid, everything is settled, then their settlement comes from the final amount. It is rendered by the executor himself. No matter how much you think you're worth, how much you ought to get, you're not the one that determines that. It is the executor himself. Now, you know many of us, well, I'm not worthy of this, and I'm not worthy of that, and I'm not worthy of something else. But yet if the executor says it's yours, it overrides your feeling of unworthiness. Amen. Notice the second step of the executor is to notify banks, credit card companies, and government agencies of the descendant's death, and may I also say, hell. Now, it is the executor's responsibility to find out what debts would be owed against the estate, the claim that could be filed by someone later. Now, you see, if the executor goes ahead and divides the funds and does not take care of all the debts, actually the executor himself becomes liable by the law. So in my estate, when I took my mother and father's estate, if I had not settled any outstanding debts they would have owned, credit card companies, the hardware place, you know, the building place, whatever more, if I did not do that and I gave my brothers and sisters or portion of the inheritance, then the state of Kentucky could have come back on me because I failed to meet all the requirements of the law. So it is the state of the executor to clear the claim of the claimees to make sure that there will be no claim against what they get in court. Now, it is the responsibility of the executor himself. It was not Harry's responsibility for Harry to go to probate and go to here and go to there. But Harry and my brother Jamie and my four sisters, they were trusting in me to resolve all this account. So whatever little bit that they got, no one would have a claim against it. I don't mind telling you, friend, I'm not big enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough to settle all my sin debt, all my unrighteous claims, but it had to be up to my executor, the Lord Jesus. And if he says I am free today, that's exactly what I am. If he says you are free and you have eternal life and there is not one claim against your claim as a child of God, there's not enough devils in hell. There's not enough people in the world to make a charge against you. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It's not us. Boy, the Lord had a lot of debt to settle for most of us. Now watch, the Social Security Administration, along with the descendants' bank and credit card companies, are just some examples of who should be notified of the death. And as I said, hell. Number three, set up a bank account for incoming funds to pay any ongoing bills. So the executor's got to make a New Testament account. You see, you can't deposit these funds in the Old Testament because it won't work. You've got to deposit these funds in an entire new bank account called the New Testament or the New Will. Now, it is the executor's responsibility. I had to do this myself. So you go do it. Those of you that have been executors, you know that. So you set up a new account. I could not use my mother and father's old banking account. Why? It changed administrations. So it went from my mother passing away first, and then my father passing away, and then I had to open up a brand new account. Glory. And then everything that was going to be paid, I had to be able to document all of this and show that everything that was going to be paid and taken care of was in rendering of the estate itself. Glory to God. Then let anybody bring any claim, any charge, whatever they want to do. I've still got the paperwork to this day, and they can do whatever they want to say. I checked out with the newspaper, checked out everything. Don't you see why God had to run your pedigree right back to the very beginning to make sure there was no liens, there was no charge accounts against your soul? And if you're sitting here today justified by the Son of God, there is not one claim. I don't care how far back you go. If He has forgiven you and given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is not one charge that will stand against you at the day of judgment. The account has been settled. If the descendant is owed money, such an incoming paychecks, this account can hold them. An executor should be on the lookout for mortgages, utilities, and similar bills that need to be paid throughout the probate process. Lord, children, I don't think you're getting it. If you understood sitting right here this morning that there is not one charge against you. You ain't even got a light bill. You ain't even got a water bill. You ain't got an insurance bill. I'm talking about spiritually. You ain't got a bill from Big Lots or Lowe's or Home Depot. You ain't got one charge against you in the eyes of God, because the executor himself, if he's given you the Holy Ghost, he has given you your portion, which means all the debts are settled against you, or you never got the Holy Ghost. Number four, the executor files an inventory of the estate's assets with the court. Now, for most of us poor folks, we could do it on a post-it note. Now, you know, for somebody that's rich, it might take several pages. But the estate we're talking about had so much in it, it's still unveiling itself to this day. So the executor, the Lord Jesus, began to compile the assets of the estate. Forgiveness, mercy, love, joy, peace, power of God, healing, deliverance, resurrection, rapture, on and on. And on and on and on the list goes. As a matter of fact, it never stops. The list keeps on going because the executor is still revealing. You understand where we are right now and in the phase of time? The executor himself is right among us. Amen. The loosing of the seals. Loose your identity that you'd be able to find out what was yours. Amen. The executor made a list. Hallelujah. And he had his apostles to write it down in the will. And for 2,000 years, this list is still being preached. And we still haven't exhausted it. In many states, the court requires the executor to submit a detailed inventory of the assets in probate estate. And we'll detail some of them for you just in a few minutes. And I would advise you to go on back to hell, because this is going to be a devil frying meeting. If you know what's good for you, you get out of here now. Now, the executor must also decide what kind of probate is necessary. Because inheritance laws may facilitate the passing of certain properties without probate, such as property held jointly by a husband and a wife. You see, the foolish virgins, 144,000, need to go before the judge. But because we're part of the groom, we'll never have to appear before the judge. He took our place. Because under this probation law, the property going from our husband, the Lord Jesus, straight to us, it does not have to go before the judge and be approved. It's already been approved. It's already been approved. You're his. And you were his before the foundation of the world. And there's nothing that can stop you from inheriting it. Probate isn't always necessary. This is why you go straight out of Laodicea to streets of gold. You don't have to be judged. You don't have to pass through no white throne. One morning you get up living down here as a mortal. Oh my, doing what mortals do. And the next moment you'll be in the rapture, caught up into the seventh dimension in the presence of God. No probate court necessary. You are judging yourselves right now by the word. And you esteem the word your judge. I really like this one, number six. Maintain the property until it can be distributed or sold. This includes keeping up a house until it is distributed to the heirs or sold. That includes divine healing if your house gets run down. You got a crack or a window that falls in or whatever more, it's the executor's responsibility to keep the house up. It's the executor's responsibility. If something happened, you got a little leak in the roof and you got this, that, and the other, it is the executor's place. Look, friend, this is not something that we chose to do ourselves. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He accepted this estate. He accepted full responsibility. It is up to him to give me the faith I need for rapture. It is up to him to give me the power to live in the darkest age that's ever been, who are kept by the power of God. Also, an executor must be sure to find all personal property in the estate and protect it until distribution. I cried like a baby when I read this. If the descendant had a safety deposit box, the executor should locate it and keep it safe. Our executor found it in Revelation chapter 5. It was the book in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. In Revelation chapter 10, the executor comes down himself and he's got that little book open in his hand. What is it? Safety deposit box. What's in there? It ain't diamonds and gems and rubies and watches. It's the names of his elect. Hallelujah. What did he find? That safety deposit box. It was put in there and sealed with seven seals. And he had to come and take the book. The safety deposit box. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He must pay the estate's debts and taxes. This estate of Jesus Christ, all of the things that we brought against him, he had no debts on his own. No wrongdoing, no taxes, no delinquencies. It was my debts he had to pay. And your debts. State law dictates a procedure for notifying creditors. And the state must also file final income tax returns, which I'll do in my new body. Glory to God. By final W-2. Mortal no more. Even the IRS can't come looking for us then. Praise God. One day we will file our final return when we draw our final mortal breaths. You'll open your mouth, pull it down inside of your lungs, and before it goes out to exhale, you'll be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. And you'll file your final closing form as a mortal. You'll never, oh hallelujah, you'll never feel pain again. You'll never feel sorrow again. Your account as a mortal is closed. Number 8, distribute the assets. Distribution occurs according to the wishes expressed in the will. So if the will says that there's a category of people, whosoever will, let them come. The executor is going to distribute it that way. But if the will says in Acts 13:48, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, the executor will distribute the goods that way. Matthew 25:4, for those who come up, Lord, and when did we see you hunger? When did we see you this? When you done it to the least of these, my brothers, you done it unto me. Enter into the joys of the Lord. That's the will. Amen. The 144,000 going to receive the seal of God during the time of the tribulation period. That's a different category. That's in the will. And the executor is working all these great things to make it every bit come to pass. There'll not be one letter of the will that will fail. Distribution occurs according to the wishes expressed in the will. If there is no will, state intestacy laws apply. But we've got a will. Yes, amen. Verse 9, dispose of other property. If there's any property left after paying off the estate's debts, distribution to heirs, the executor is responsible for disposing of it. So if there's any devils left, it's up to the executor to get rid of them. If there's any unbelief left, anything left that really, you know, that's not yours. I don't know about you. I don't want no devil in part of my state. I don't want no evil. If there's anything left that has to deal with all this sort of thing, it's up to the executor to get rid of it. And he's done made a place. Glory. Now notice this. Number 10. Represent the estate in court. Amen. So the executor represents the entire estate in court. Amen. An executor may be required to appear in court on behalf of the estate. Bride, foolish virgin, 144,000 saved in Matthew 25. The whole estate will have to be answered to by the executor. And he will have done such a tremendous job that Spirit God will let him have his throne. And he will sit upon this throne, and Spirit God will envelop him in Shekinah light. Since estates vary greatly in size and complexity, an executor's job may be easy or challenging. And boy, I've been quite a challenge to my executor. But thankfully, he's better at it than I am my mistakes. Aren't you glad he's better at his executorship than you are at your mistakes? And the power of his executorship overrides all of our humanity. Oh, glory. And responsibilities may very well go beyond the 10 basic items in this list. Yeah, I reckon. So in this category, we find our Lord moving from the great one who gives us his will over into the executorship in the New Testament. Thereby he becomes the priest or the intercessor for all of those whose names are in the safety deposit box. So he makes sure that the will is written and validated by the Holy Spirit, and he puts his seal on the last book of the New Testament at the Lord Jesus Christ right at the very end and says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and I'm the one who said all this. Amen. So he seals the will. Then in the will, the apostles begin to take this will and they begin to preach it on Pamphylian, or, you know, in Croas and Galatia and all up and down. And they begin to preach it. Now remember, they did not have any Arminianism to deal with. They did not have Trinitarianism to deal with. They did not have denominations to deal with the way we do today. So they had the straight, pure will, birthed by the Holy Ghost, being able to die to the form of Judaism that they had. Can you imagine what a power reigned among that early church? When they would read this New Testament, they didn't read it through a Baptist version or a Methodist version or a Church of God or a Pentecostal. There was no such a thing. So when they read that will, they read it directly under the influence of the executor himself. Can't you see why God had to send a prophet again in the last day that would turn our hearts back to the same original faith the apostles had in the beginning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at another category in this will, shall we? The elect category. They are sheep, they are called, they are elect, or called by many different names. St. John 10:15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, you mean to tell me he's laying down his life for sheep before he ever laid his life down? They were already sheep? How can that be? They were already sheep before he laid his... I thought that he laid his life down for goats that they might be turned into sheep. You see, that's through denominational thinking. Right. Now what? St. John 10:26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. Now again, he's speaking to folks there, and the new birth has not even been given yet, but he's classifying some as his sheep already. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eat eternal life. Amen. Look at this word ordained, what it means. The word is never used to denote an internal disposition or inclination arising from one's own self. It does not, oh glory, does not mean that they dispose themselves to embrace eternal life. It means ordering, disposing, or arrangement from without. Well, blessed be the Lord. From some other source other than the individual themselves. What is it? It is the power of the executor. Amen. It was the Spirit of God that moved upon these Gentiles. The power of the executor from without. You see, divine ordination affects eternal life. It's the cause. It's the cause of your choice, not the effect of your choice. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to himself, according to the good pleasure of your, that's right. Verse 11, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his. Amen. Isn't that respect of persons? Not at all. It's loving what's yours. And being merciful to that which ain't. Loving what's yours, being merciful to that which ain't. Don't you like that theological term, ain't? James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Oh my goodness. Oh, what under my will? What about this great thing that I've done? What is this great something other that I've done? Don't you see what you're doing? You want to hold on to that? You want to save yourself? You want something to do with your salvation, don't you? You know what you're doing? You're following Adam. That's your fig leaf. For many of you, your will is your fig leaf, and you're hiding behind him. Well, praise the Lord. Of his own will begatting us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You see, the elect of God are part of his thoughts and purpose. And the word purpose, of course, is shewbread. Shewbread. Very strange, peculiar word used in the New Testament. But when you find it here, most of the uses in the New Testament for the word purpose is shewbread. So his own shewbread. What was the shewbread? The bread, the 12 loaves that was set right before you go into the Holy of Holies, set over here on a table, and it was a loaf to represent the tribes of the children of Israel, and it was called the bread of his face, the shewbread. So the purpose of God in the New Testament is the shewbread. The bride is the shewbread set before his face. Amen. Watch Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. This is part of our will. Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his shewbread. Romans 9:11. The children not yet being born, neither of them having done good or evil, that the shewbread of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth us. Ephesians 1:11. And whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Being predestined. But Brother Donnie, that's evil. It is not evil if you look at it right. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You didn't get it tonight you went to the altar. You didn't get it tonight that you got baptized. It was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. The executor was back there. Now what the executor wanted to do in this last day was so penetrate and annihilate church tradition that he called a man of God up real close to his heart, and he began to reiterate things about his desires, his intent and purpose to this man called a prophet. And this prophet in Hebrews 6 says, we don't believe in the legal forms of salvation. We believe that by grace we're saved. And it's not you. You have nothing. Lay your fig leaves down. Come on, lay your fig leaves down. You have nothing to do with it. It's God's election that does it. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. That's right. All Jesus said will come. Oh, listen to this now. All Jesus come to do was to get these that Father foreknew and predestinated them before the foundation of the world. Then become sons and daughters of God. Amen. Not him that runneth or of him that willeth, but God that showeth mercy. God does that. You can't brag at all. There's not a thing that you did. God, by grace, saved you. Not you yourself. If you do, you've got something to brag about, but you ain't got nothing to brag. All praises go to him. It's him. That's why my he gave you the sure hope, swore by an oath the impossibility for his children to ever be lost. Now, saved people can be lost. Remember reading in the scripture, whenever the Bible says he saved them, which later were lost. The children of Israel, he saved them out of the land of Egypt. Later they were lost. Judas was saved and lost. Many will be saved and lost, but there won't be one child ever lost. Can't be, totally impossible. Why? That's what the will says. I don't like that. Talk to the testator. I'm just a representative. Now, an executor, if he has many, many things and responsibilities to do, then the executor has the power to delegate other legal authorities which will help him usher in the establishment and the settlement of the estate. In other words, he gave them apostles, prophets. The executor called these offices and they would go out under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and they would begin to usher in and minister to the called their position in Christ Jesus. Oh my. Notice this. I love this one. Question and answer 1959. He loved you. He loved you before there was a world. He knows your nature. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your habits. He knew all about you, what you was going to be. And then when he looked over the great universe as it was and said, I choose you. You mean after looking at our mistakes? How many friends, if we would have known, they would have turned their back on us and caused us all kind of problems. We'd have never chosen them as a friend in the first place. But he knew your mistakes, thousands of them. He knows your failures, thousands of them. But he looked at you before the foundation of the world and said, I choose you. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And when he did that, before there was ever a speck of light, then your eternal was God. So says the will. I said, so says the will. I want to debate that. It ain't up for debate. If you're an arguer, then that tells me you ain't got much in the will anyway. Why would you want to argue against the very message that's sent to restore your heart back to the original faith? This is the way Peter, Paul, and James and them believed it. They never had to deal with Arminian doctrine. The Arminian wasn't even in existence then. They believed strong election and strong predestination. That's why they preached it and wrote about it. My, think of it. Before there was ever a world, he said, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost because he knew you'd be wanting it. And he chose you himself because you desired. He chose you in Christ before you or Jesus or any of you was on the earth. And he sent Jesus to prepare the way to send the Holy Ghost to bring you to himself. Oh my, he said, this is the church I'm at home now. So this is rich to me to think. It's not what I wanted. No, wait a minute. He just got through saying he gave you the Holy Ghost because he knew you'd want it. And now he says he didn't even want it. So there's a part of you that wanted it and a part of you that didn't. There's a part of you that wants to obey the word and there's a part of you that don't want to this morning. There's a part of you that's want to say amen. There's a part of you ain't want to. And the part that ain't want to is winning out on most of it because you ain't saying nothing. To think, it's not what I wanted. It wasn't my desires. It wasn't my will. It wasn't my choosing. I had not one thing to do with it. Before the world ever started, God saw us and put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life before there was even a world. Talk about God. This is about the time whenever he'd say he's feeling religious. Before there was ever a world, before there was ever a planet, before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before there was light, before there was anything, when he was still God, God and his thoughts, the eternal thoughts of God, chose you by predestination, by foreknowledge, to know that you would be on the earth, to know there would be sin. And you're going to be lost. You're going to need a Savior. But your part of the will not only included being saved, it included being redeemed. Amen. And redeemed is bought back. Amen. You see, everybody that's redeemed is saved. But everybody that's saved ain't redeemed. You can be saved, but it don't mean you're redeemed. Because if you're redeemed, then you're bought back to the original owner. If he never owns your original, you're not in the plan of redemption, but you are included in the plan of salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see, for the elect of God, their will has more. Well, Well, here this rich man designs his will, and I want Jim to have this, and I want Skip to have that. This boy, I want him to have that. And this old guy over here, he's not my son. He's not my nephew. He ain't no kin to me at all. But he's been a good friend. He's been a good neighbor. He's good to my boy one time. My boy got out there, got into a mess of trouble. That guy went over and I'm going to leave him something. Yes,
amen.
Glory to God. And the executor goes to work him. So he goes to working on Jim's portion and Skip's portion and the sons and daughters now. But now remember, there's also other names. But there are other vocations that are in this will. The whosoever will group and the 144,000 and the group that will come up in the last day. And he's got to make sure that every one of them are in. Now we know the main focus in this hour is the bride. But also God is watching Israel. God is watching the foolish virgin. My, we as Americans would have never thought we'd ever come to a presidential election where we may be facing the possibility of a woman president. It didn't take God by surprise. Come on, it didn't take God by surprise that the world's in the shape that they're in. And the executor is working on every front. Whoever's got a little portion in this will, they're going to get it. Even though they may not be family, they may not be descent, their name is in the will. So even if their name is not in the safety deposit box, it's over here in the big book, not the little book. They're still going to get their portion. Can I go on? Put on your wading shoes now. Brother Bram says, in possessing the gates, the enemy's gates, there's no way at all to get a man to God unless he's predestinated to be a son of God. There's no way of doing it. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. And that's the truth. Spoken words, original seed. The Bible is manifested again like in the early days of Christ. How is it manifested? Because you are a predestinated seed. Just like Christ was. No. Just like. You believe it or not? So where did it come from? The same source. God thought of himself as being human. And that transmitted him down to be Jesus. God thought of himself as having a family. And that transmitted you down to being you. It's also the power of thought and transmission and expression. Would it fail? Totally impossible. It is eternal. It cannot fail. Then you are a predestinated seed just like Christ was. So how was Christ a predestinated seed? By his own choice. Was Christ a predestinated seed because, well, I choose to serve God? Nonsense. You're a predestinated seed just like he was. How was he? In the thinking of God. God thought of himself as being a human. Now God the Eternal is not a man. God the Eternal don't have hands. God the Eternal does not have eyes in the way that we know it. But God thought of himself as being tangible and human. And that transmitted him down to be Jesus. But before the transmission was ever made, you were there in that circle of eternity as well. The devil knew he kept watching that safety deposit box and he couldn't figure out what in the world was in that box. He noticed God kept really watching over that box and the devil would come over close for fellowship and God would grab a hold of that box and kind of put it up under his arm. He noticed it's under lock and key and the devil kept on trying to figure out, reckon what's in that box. Reckon what's in that box. Well, it was a mystery, wasn't it? So it was going to be laid there for many, many years, sealed up until the testator comes. Then the testator does his part, fulfills his portion, becomes executor of the will. And what he does, he opens up the mystery, starts on the book of redemption. And this is why the bride is included in the book of redemption and the mystery of redemption. As the mysterious powers of God is working it out under the administration of the high priest, so is the Spirit of God under the administration of the same high priest in the form of the Holy Ghost working out the mystery of redemption in your own life. He ain't just in heaven completing the book of redemption. redemption. He's on the earth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost in his bride, working out that mystery in your life. You finding your place in the will. Friends, can't you see why we cannot go by what people tell us? Well, you need to do this, and this is your place, and that's your place, and that's your place. You need to be in contact with the executor. People will lead you here and lead you there and put you every direction. People mean well many times, but the means they use ain't well. I said they mean well, but the means they use ain't well. This is why we need every one of us need that daily inspiration of the executor. You brought me here. What do you want me to do? What should I do? Lord Jesus. You are a predestinated seed just like Christ was. And when the rain falls on the seed, the life produces itself. When the Holy Spirit, when it fell on those seed that Jesus chose them, when? Before the foundation of the world. Now watch how he likens these apostles going to the upper room. Then they were a predestinated seed, is that right? Then they haul themselves up in the upper room. These seeds. So here go these seeds. And they haul themselves. They haul themselves. They who? The seed hauls the dust, the ground. They haul themselves to the upper room. The seed packing the body to the upper room, the dust. They haul themselves in the upper room. These seeds, the word. And the word was laying on there without life in it. All of a sudden there came a sound from heaven. Oh Lord, who is it? The executor. Here comes the executor. What's he got? He's got that safety deposit box. And there came a sound from heaven as waters. Waters. There came a sound from heaven. As waters begin to gush down. And it actually filled all the house where they were sitting. And the seeds began to grow. It began to manifest itself. The word of God being manifested. Who was it? The executor. What's he bringing? Water. And they jump up and go to, you know, stammered lips and all that. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who was it? The executor said, here, Peter, here's your part of the will. Here's your part of the will. And then Peter stands up and says, men and brethren, these men ain't drunk as you suppose, saying it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last day. Watch. The executor has called another man to help identify other people in their position. Oh my, notice again, spoken words, original seed. According as he has chosen us. Did we choose him? Huh? Oh, Brother Branham, I beg your pardon, I did. Know you according to the word. You didn't. Go ahead, take your hand like this. It helps it wallow it down. You see, on three, everybody. There you go. But Brother Donnie, I remember, glory to God, I went down to that altar. I grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar and I stayed. I made up my mind. No, 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 no. You're all messed up. God grabbed a hold of your horns, you evil, wicked thing, and drawed you up there by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he was the one who inspired you to surrender your will. It was not you that done it. If you were ordained to life, it was an external force other than yourself. Jesus said, you never chose me, I chose you. Oh yeah, what did he choose it? When did Jesus say he chose his church? Before the foundation of the world. Of course, he has chosen us in him. At the last revival Dr. So-and-so had, you might read that in a creed textbook, but not in this one. according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Where were we chosen? At the last revival, the night we got saved, when there was no world, wasn't no stars, wasn't no atoms or no molecules. That's when we were chosen, having predestinated. Then he spells out the word. Oh, predestinated us into the adoption of children. The seed from the beginning. See, children of Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Surely there ain't nobody in this building today is going to argue with the executor. Are you? I mean, would any of us in our right mind send him as, I defy that. Really? So you mean you're going to argue with the executor himself who read the will and actually wrote it? Not me. I'm going to shout in it. Why spend all my energies fighting when I can shout? Because when you get done, it's still written here the same. When you get done fighting, spend all your life fighting it. It still says the same thing. Oh my, listen to this in Shalom. Now to you, predestinated seed. Shalom. What a message from the executor. Now to you, predestinated seed. Shalom. Good morning. Your day has arrived. The day star has arisen in your hearts. Oh my, what a greeting to the saints of God. Now to you, predestinated seed. Shalom. God's peace rests upon you. Because we're here near the end now. We're right down near the end. We're going to talk about that for a while. Shalom. I love this. And what is attraction on the mount? That's what the attraction is. The predestinated seed of God who can't do nothing else but follow it. Now some of you is fixing to get mad, but I really don't care. The attraction in this hour is not Brother Branham. The attraction in this hour is not John the Baptist. It's not Paul. It's not Peter. The attraction in this hour is the predestinated seed who can do nothing else but follow it. When John the Baptist was here, he was the light. Jesus said so. John was a great shining light. But when Jesus was here, he absolutely was the light. When Jesus went away, the apostles became the light. When Luther was here, he was the light. But when he left, the saints of God became the light. When the prophet of God was here, he was the light. But now the light is moved into the final stage of the book of redemption, and that is the elect of God. They are the attraction, and the attraction has changed from the prophet to his prophecy. Oh, thank you, Lord. It changed from John the Baptist when John the Baptist said, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. But the attraction changed from the prophet to his prophecy. Do you understand? The attraction has changed from Brother Branham to his prophecy. You are the people he spoke about. You are the people he spoke about. You're part of them words that he said would come in the last day. What is the attraction? The predestinated. See. He says, why, oh hell, is against you. But that's good. Because I'm against all hell. Aren't you? I wasn't born to be a survivor. I was born to be an overcomer. I wasn't born to barely hang on. I ain't hanging on no way. Oh, brother, none of the righteous scarce to be saved. That ain't talking about me. Lot was a righteous man, but Abraham was super righteous. And you talking about the righteous barely hanging on. You ain't talking about me. He hung on to me up here before I dropped down there. If he hung on to me then, then what in the world have I got to fear? The executor's done told me, fear not, little ones. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you all the way to the end of the world. I am he that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. That's the words of the executor himself. That's what the attraction is, the predestinated seed who can't do nothing else but follow it. This is why people can pick it and do whatever they want to do. And we just keep on eating. What is that? We're like the little bear that come when the prophet come in there in his little molasses bucket. You remember the story. And he had his little tent, his little molasses bucket, and a mama bear and two she bears come in there. And they got into his molasses bucket, and he come up, and the mama seen him, and she took off, and the little brother took off. But one of them little message guys sat over there, he had his little old paw sopping down in the bucket, and the prophet said he had his bucket, you know, sort of like this, and his hot hand popped down, just licking it off. He turned around. He said, get out of here, get out of here. When he turned around, his eyes was all mattered together with all the molasses all over him. Had it all over his mouth, all over his eyes. Brother Ram said, got a gun over there, but I don't want to shoot that mama. He just kept on sitting there eating. He said, brother, I think that's what we need to do. We need to get the molasses bucket. You can spend all your time on websites, a bunch of false liars and devils, a bunch of hypocrites and everything else if you want to, or you can climb back in this word tent and sit there, hallelujah, and get the Paul down in the molasses bucket and go to dipping out healing and dipping out deliverance and dipping out peace and power and baptism of the Holy Ghost and sit there and get your eyes full and your mouth full. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Or you can come to church like this. That's the wildest preacher I've ever seen in my life. They ought to have that guy psychoanalyzed. No, not really. Dead commitment before noon. Oh, it's already 12:30. Friends, there ain't nothing wrong with me. I've just been on this drunk. Ever since I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I go to bed intoxicated. I get up intoxicated. I read intoxicated. I go through trials intoxicated. And the thing of it is, I'm drunk on new wine. And I've got a molasses bucket over here on the side. I've got so many things to eat from and drink. I'm just in this dilemma of which one am I going to drink next? Which bucket am I going to eat out of? If you could see me spiritually, I got my eyes all sopped up out of the molasses bucket. And I got my new wine sitting over here in a bottle. I'm just having myself a big old time. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I thought my will said I could have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I thought my will said I could have peace. I thought my will said I could be happy. I am so sorry that your will does not include this stuff. Apparently some of you all was aired a sourpuss look. And the only thing you're allowed to do is change which eyebrow you lower. You see, that's what happened in the upper room. And them seeds, all them dust bags up there. The molasses bucket came down. And they were carrying on in such a way that people actually thought they were drunk. How long has it been since you've been accused of being that way? Most people don't call us holy rollers no more. We don't roll no more. We might be classified as holy setters. And holy nodders. Holy rollers? No, that's a thing of the past. Screaming, hollering, shouting. Well, some of y'all was carrying on pretty good here Wednesday night a week ago. Carol said, even them little girls is coming out from under the prayer line. Her and Sister Cheryl was having them come across through there. She said that she didn't know how many of them. Every one of them comes through there, their flesh just trembling and shaking. I thought, glory to God. That's the kind of experience I want our children to have. I want our children to be able to know God as the living God. I want them to be able to stick their paw by the cherry down in the molasses bucket and say, yes, he's real. He is real. He's not just a figment of my imagination. He's not just a book. He is a person. A person who can heal you and deliver you and set you free. It's up to you. Do you want that? Or do you want just a dried up Christian? Let me close. That's what the attraction is. The predestinated seed of God who can't do nothing else but follow it. It means more than life to us. Take our lives, but don't take that. Take my home, I could live without it. Take my car, my truck, I could live without it. Take my suits, I could live without it. But if Jesus was ever taken from my life, I don't think I could live a day. I'd be so depressed and so sad and so empty and so lonely. Ever since a little boy, I've known him. That's all I've known all my life, every day, been with him. Aren't you glad you don't have to give him up? The executor himself said, I will never leave you. Never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Father. Each one of you today, you just need to look at your own heart and life and walk and see where you are. See if you're living beneath the privilege and the opportunity that the executor's written. Now, can you imagine if your father passed, your mother and your father passed, and you or one of your siblings became the executor of the will, and in the will your father left you $100,000 or $300,000 or whatever more, and you're living on the side of the road and you ain't got no place to go. You're homeless, ain't got no home, ain't got no car. And yet you refuse that inheritance. Well, I'm going to take a handout. No, I just can't do it. You're foolish. You would be so foolish. You're staying out and braving the elements of the air. Your father's left you enough money to buy you a comfortable home and a vehicle to be able to get around. Well, isn't it the same way spiritually? Our Father has taken care of every debt. You don't owe a light bill, insurance. Glory to God. There's not one outstanding debt that was against you. This is why the prophet tells us in Future Home, you don't accept the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost accepts you. He searches back all of your life and makes sure that all the debts are clear. And there's nothing there. Then he sends down your representation and seals you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Friend, if you're standing here today and you've got that seal of God, you ought to be the happiest person in the world. It ought to tell you, you have met with the executor and you have done receive part of your inheritance. There's no debts against you. No taxes, no liens. Social Security, IRS, he shut up every condemner. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, there'll be battles, sure. There'll be tests and trials. But it's not from within your soul where they arise. It's from the outside. If you've never accepted him today, and you feel him pulling on your heart, why don't you accept him? You might be the last one. I know some message preachers want to think they're so sophisticated and so fine and all they preach to is bride. Well, I'm not that smart. I don't figure that. I figure if I can win 10,000 foolish virgins, I'll win them. If, exactly right. If I can win how many ever bride, foolish virgin, if I could be instrumental, whatever more, whatever class and category of people, because I feel like God. I'm not willing that any should perish. Amen. That's the way God feels. That's the way I feel. If I could preach to somebody that's a foolish virgin, they may not be bride, but if I could at least get them in before the blood is emptied and off the mercy seat, I'd be so happy. Wouldn't you? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. What a weekend. Last night and today. We have been wooed by your presence, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we believe the executor himself has been among us to take his precious will and quicken it to our lives. I can preach and I can read quotes and scriptures and things like that, but you're the only one that can make it real to him. I seen here last night, Lord, in the services I was speaking. I saw several people, their faces, and I knew they was getting it. They was being illuminated because the mystery of the book was so real to them. It was expressed on their outward expression. Thank you. Because you're the only one that can do it. And I've seen the same right here this morning. We thank you for that. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. We know this will is very complex because there are several categories and groups of people that are identified in the same book. There will be some that will be granted life at the end. They were good people. They lived as good as they knew. But they were not born again, as we'd say. But you'll tell them, enter into the joys of the Lord. Because you did this to the least of these, my brothers. You've done it to me. That's in your will. The 144,000 will be there. That's in your will. The foolish virgin, by the millions of them, will go through the tribulation period and give their lives. That's your will. And then we speak of your family. Those who were your thoughts before the foundation of the world. Their names were held over in the safety deposit box under the seals of lock and key. Praise God. They look like other mortals. Their blood is like other mortals. They make mistakes and all of that, but it's what came from the safety deposit box that makes them different. When you come on the earth, you look like an ordinary human. You got hungry like humans. You ate like humans. If you had fallen when you was a little boy working around Joseph's carpenter shop, and you would have scratched your little knee, and that little knee would have bled, it would have looked like human blood. As it was released from the veins and the reddish color, and Mary come over and picked you up, and you was crying as a little child and wiping the tears from your eyes and the blood off of your knee, it would have looked like an ordinary human. Help us, Lord. May we look at you and look at us and see a uniformity, a union, which was in you before the world began. Help each of us today. If there's some that's lost, some that's here, but they're living beneath their privilege. Father, may you help each of us. Lord God, I raise my hand today. I need you. I need more revelation. I need to be made more aware of who I am in Christ. More aware of my position, my Lord. Help me, dear God. As I am employed by the executor's office to be able to go about and make the will clear to his children. Anoint me, Lord God. You said, I've got meetings coming up this week and then a couple of weeks and then another couple of weeks, another couple of weeks, meetings in different places. Help me, Lord. Help me as an employee of the executor's office to go out and speak the word to your children. That they can come to their place. Help every preacher, every God-called man around this message to do likewise. Lord, may we not be interested in kingdom building. May we not be interested in people following us. May we get them to you, Lord Jesus. Forget us. It don't matter if they even remember who it was that led them to you. As long as they can get to you, that's the main thing. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Thank you for becoming our testator, to die the death, to pay the penalty, to release me of my taxes, releasing me of my obligations that was against me that I could never pay. I was so deep in the sin of so much debt against me, I could never get out. But you became my Goel, my kinsman, redeemer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're taught that Ruth was a young woman when she come in and she happed upon the field of Boaz. But according to Jewish tradition and history, Boaz was an 80-year-old man. So Ruth, this young woman, was to marry the Ancient of Days. Praise God. Praise God. You settled all Naomi's debts. You settled all of Ruth's debts. And when you settled the debts, you took her to be your wife. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You paid all of our debts. Released us from all of our mortgages, all of our estate taxes. And what did you do? You took us to be your wife. And we've conceived your seed. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you today, Lord God. Can we just raise our hands, friends, in the presence of the King? Glory to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God Adonai. Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Tiskenu. Jehovah Shammah. All these great redemptive names redeemed, fulfilled, completed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we also have moved into that portion of our will that we are called Miss Jesus. The will says so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We were paupers, friends. We've been made rich. How? Because he who was rich became poor, that we might be made rich through his poverty. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. Oh, let's sing it now. I do not know just why he came to love me so. Oh, he looked beyond. Aren't you glad? Oh, let's sing it together with all of our hearts.
Just why he came to love me.
from that circle. He looked beyond all my faults, and he saw my knees. I shall never lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, help me worship him, would you? Help me love him. For that beautiful city. I'm bound for that beautiful city. See, 1, 2, 3. Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages. Thank you, Lord God. And the glories. Oh, what a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. There's no disappointment. There's no disappointment in heaven. No weariness, sorrow, or pain. No hearts that are bleeding and broken. No song with the minor refrain. Think of the children, the clouds of our earthly horizon. Never appear in the sky, for all will be sunshine and gladness, and never a sob nor a sigh. Of course, together now. Oh, I'm bound for that beautiful city. Why? The will says I can go. I go away to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Round the white throne, homesick for heaven and the glory I've seen, I will behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see. The taxes will never come due. Glory! Our garments will never grow threadbare, but always be fadeless and new. My God will never be hungry or thirsty. City that You see, in some wills, there are certain ones in the will that maybe the father and mother had a really nice home. And they say, I want so-and-so to get the house. We see that's the way the New Testament will is. Jesus says, I want my wife to get the house. Since she lived in the house on the earth, it's only fitting she live in the house in eternity. And then, of course, there were people who didn't live in this house of faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. They lived outside the house on the earth in the kingdom of God. So in the kingdom of heaven, when the kingdom of heaven comes down upon the earth, they will live outside the house. So the mountain will push up out of the earth. When the earth gets her baptism of the Holy Ghost, the mountain will start pushing up out of the earth. And then John said, I saw the city, the new Jerusalem, descend from God out of heaven. What was it? The capstone of a pyramid. So the mountain is like a pyramid, and the city itself is like a pyramid. So the city comes down and sets right down on top. It's like the Holy Ghost sets you off. And the city caps off the mountain on the earth like the Holy Ghost capped you off. And there in the city will be streams and parks and avenues. And the water of life will come under the throne. And those who live up closest to the throne, as it has a 216 feet high, you know, in that angle of descent, as it comes down, and the water will come down in your backyard. It'll come down in your backyard, and he'll have it so designed. He's a great gardener. He'll have it so designed that it'll come back down through your backyard and then come down through your front yard. And then there'll be people that'll live in the step down beneath you. And it'll trickle down out of your front yard into their backyard. And then come into their backyard, into their front yard, which will trickle down into your backyard, into your front yard, into your backyard, to your front yard. It just keeps right on coming and it recirculating all through eternity. And then you'll be these big, great, gigantic pearls. These gifts from God. But that's the only ones there? No, there's all kinds that live way out here on the outside of the city. And what they'll do, they'll come in from new moon to Sabbath. And they'll come in to the bride city. She got the house. They got the house, but she got the house. Why, her will says so. So they'll come in and they'll bring their tithing to Levi. You are his portion for acting out the part of executor. The 10%, the tithing of the earth. So the kings of the earth will come in and they'll walk up and down those streets and they'll look and they just said they're in awe of the city, but they're in awe of you. You imagine as they leave and they think, can you imagine what it is to live like this every day? Those people never have to leave. And when they get ready to leave and they get ready to go out the gate, they'll grab a hold of a leaf off of the tree of life. And they'll hand one to another a leaf. And they'll say, brother, at one time on the earth, we fought for one another's blood. We fought one another. This will be the heathens and those who was raised up. And they'll exchange leaves because the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So as a memorial, when they go out and they'll say, Lord Jesus, bye. We'll see you next time we get to come back in. They say, bye, Donnie. Bye, Wes. We'll see y'all next time we get to come to the city. But they won't be crying like I am. I'm a crybaby. They won't be sad. They won't be sorrowful. But they'll be going back out into the earth to raise their crops. And they'll be laboring them. But it won't be labor as we know it. And then it comes their time again to go back. And here they come back in. Oh, where are you going? I get to go to the house of God today. I get to go to church. I get to go to the bride city. But you get to live there. Why? It's what your will says. I tell you one thing, I'd be so happy if I lived the farthest, remotest place out and I never got to come in every 332,000 years. I'd be so happy just to be there. But the way I love him and the way I feel about him, I just can't keep from believing somewhere I'm going to wind up in there. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he called my name from the safety deposit box and said, this is yours. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. I got all of that. Think of it, friends. Nobody will ever get up tired. Nobody will ever be weary. There'll be no more tears, no more crying. No more babies born blind. No more crime, no more fault. What a place. What a place. And our Father's love and mercy was so big that it spilled over beyond the book of life, Lamb's book of life, over into the book of life, and there will be millions of people, and the seas will be gone. Remember, the center of the earth is Jerusalem, Jerusalem. From there, the very pivotal point of the earth where Enoch, before the measurement and the circumference arc of the earth was ever even known by science, Enoch built the arches inside the pyramid, the exact replica of the circumference of the earth. Enoch enclosed in the pyramid. The pyramid, it contains many of the archaeological and geological signs and also mathematical signs and measurements that science did not find out till thousands of years after it was built, right inside this great pyramid's symbol. Why? God was writing his first Bible in the pyramid of stone. Don't you love him? I'll tell you one thing, our feet shouldn't even touch this carpet when we walk out of here today. About half of y'all to be flying out them doors. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you go. I love you so much. Pray for the meetings in Ruth this week till the Lord will just visit us. I announced it last night. I announced it again today. Brother Wayne Lawson will be preaching Wednesday night. I'll be speaking Wednesday, Brother Ron Spencer Thursday. I'll be finishing it out on Friday. So we certainly desire your prayers there. The Lord will be with us also. Brother Wayne Lawson will be coming here, being with us on Saturday and Sunday. Be a real treat for us. He's a real brother, real gifted brother. So we're looking forward to that. We just have so much to look forward to. Amen. Just everyday life. Just living a life of a child of God. Yes, sir. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We don't deserve any of this. We're not worthy as far as in that sense. But the will says it's ours. So I'm going to take it without shame or guilt. If my name is found written in the will, why should I be ashamed to take it? The executor would not read to me an error. Go with us now, Lord. Be with your children. Encourage them. Help them through life. Give them what they need, Father. Until all we be gathered together again. I pray at that great day. We love you, Father. Amen. You love him with all your heart. Amen. Oh, children, let's not come eat at the table of God. Let's not sing and rejoice in his presence and let it become so common to us we don't even appreciate it. Amen. One of the ministers of our church was telling me the other day, someone had visited here with him just a little while, just very, very recently. And they was talking about the service and how the presence of the Lord and the singing and the worship and the preaching. And they said, was that a special service? And the preacher broke out crying and he said, no. He said, that's every service for us. I thought, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us that it don't become so common to us. That we eat at his table and feast of his delicacies. Don't do it, children. Don't let his word and his presence, every time he come among us, we ought to be so thankful. It ain't me and you, it's him. It's him, it's not us. Let's not receive it like a hog, you know, where they don't even return and thanks, give thanks. But let's be grateful for what God's done for us. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Let's sing it together. I'm bound for that beautiful city. I love this song. I hear Brother Branham sing it. It breaks out into it in a future home. It comes down to the end of it and he can't sing it no more. And he just breaks out and starts crying. And he says, the mother of my heart. The mother of my heart. He said, Lord, I long for it. Oh, you imagine. And here we are so close. The breezes are blowing across the river of life. The tree of life is blooming in every yard that has the Holy Ghost. And we're already eating fruits of the Spirit. We're that close. We got to be getting close, children. Go in the fear of God. Brother Andrew will be preaching here Wednesday night. So remember that. God bless you. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own.